As you know, Mr. Rutt's been taken very ill and is unable to be with us today. May the Lord grant his healing mercies and raise him up once more. May he help us now to begin with hymn 1131. We have thy promise, gracious Lord, thou wilt be where thy people meet. O then fulfill thy gracious word and make our happiness complete. 1131.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, the seventh chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Help Dave in prayer, please.
O Lord, how can we come before a holy, heart-searching God, infinitely holy, that canst not look upon sin and iniquity? Lord, do enable us to plead to be accepted in thy dear Son, among those who are washed in his precious blood, who are clothed in his righteousness, who are found in him. And Lord, wilt thou look upon thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, and hear our cries as we plead his holy name. O Lord, we come before thee, void of all that's good. And we ask, Lord, that we may know something of thy great salvation, even this day, that thou wilt condescend to come down into our midst, that the dear Holy Ghost may take of the things of Jesus, that he may open our understanding, that we may behold the man, the one, the God-man, who suffered, bled and died and rose again, that his people might obtain eternal salvation. Oh, to find our interest in what he has done. Lord, may thy Spirit open our understanding. May he open our blind eyes. May he unstop our deaf ears. May the word of life enter in. May our souls be healed. And may we worship God in spirit and in truth. O Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou didst know that thy servant would be laid aside today. And we pray that with these things may be sanctified in our hearts, that no cross may pass away without some good being done in our never-dying souls, as thou dost show us that in all these things thou wast afflicted, that thou didst bear such awful things against thyself, Lord Jesus, when thou wast here upon earth, that thou must become a faithful high priest to all thy people, one who has endured temptation, affliction and trial. And yet, Lord, in those things we sin, and thou didst not sin, thou wast pure and holy. And yet, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt sympathise with us in all our afflictions. We pray now, Lord, that as we meet together without thy servant, yet there may be profit for our never dying souls, that the word of life may enter in with power and unction, that our soul's affections may be drawn away from the things of this time stay and set on things above, and one thing may be made most needful to our souls, that we may obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save the very worst of sinners, who gave his life a ransom. O Lord, do grant us faith in thy precious name, faith in thy finished work, faith in an ascended Saviour at the right hand of the Most High, there to make intercession for his people. O Lord, we long to know that we are one of thine, each one of us that fills an aching void the world can never fill, and often have to ask, am I his or am I not? Hast thou put our names in thy book? Show us a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show us that we are born of God and that our treasure is above, laid up in heaven for us. We do thank thee, Lord, for all thy favours toward us. We thank thee for the house of prayer, for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for thy servants to minister to us. But these things are of no avail unless thy dear Holy Spirit come and open our blind eyes, that we may behold the wonders of redeeming love, of Jesus in the sinner's place, living and dying for us. Oh, then, that thou wouldest do this for us, and come and do us good, even today, Lord. Bless each soul that gathers. Remember those who are not here. Oh, may thy Spirit be with them also. We do pray, Lord, for our dear young people. Lord, as we see the approaching end of all things, may they be made ready for eternity. Each one of us, Lord, for some of us the time is very short. Oh, do bless us with a hope that thou hast laid up of treasure for us in heaven, even Jesus there as our Saviour. Our hope built on nothing less than his blood and righteousness. We abase ourselves before thee. Lord, we cannot keep from sinning. We cannot stand against the temptations of the wicked one. Oh, wilt thou say unto Satan, the Lord resist thee? Oh, Satan, and show our sins forgiven. We ask that thou wilt remember thy servant laid aside, dear Jabez Ruth, in his great affliction now, that thou wilt put thy healing hand upon him. Lord, the physicians cannot help him more, only, Lord, to tell him he must wait for healing. So we pray that thy healing hand may be upon him, that thou wilt raise him up again to declare the truths of thy gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Thou hast blessed his ministry among us. Oh, how we mourn that thou hast not sent him now. And Lord, we pray that there may be a purpose in him, that there may be blessing, and it may not be in the man, but in thy work among us. So hear our prayers for him, and our prayers for ourselves here. We do cry unto thee, Lord, that that which may be read to us may be thy choosing. That which thou hast ordained shall be a message of peace for one soul and another, and that there may be fruits brought forth to thy eternal praise. We would pray for all those among us who endure affliction at this time. There are those with afflictions of body, mind, and circumstances. And Lord, wilt thou appear? We pray for these things to be put right in thy own good time and way. But especially we pray, Lord, do sanctify thy dealings. Do draw near. Do assure each one of his part in the Redeemer's blood. and bear thy witness with each heart that they are born of God. We pray that thou wilt help our brother in reading the word to us. Lord, thou hast brought him through much affliction thus far. Do continue to heal him and do bless him abundantly in his soul. And remember, Lord, all we would pray for at this time, whether among us or not, who endure affliction and trial and sorrow, and draw near and comfort their hearts and say, I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. We would remember before thee our nation in these times of great turmoil, and we are greatly troubled as we see with much fear what might come upon us now. For Lord, we have rulers who appear not to fear God at all, like Pharaoh of old. But thou, Lord, hast the hearts of all men in thy hand, and we pray it may be thy good pleasure still to make all these things work together for good to thy people and to this nation, that we may see thy mighty hand put forth, and that thou wilt stop them in their wild ways, those ways of contrary to the word of God. They almost seem to be the Antichrist, if not quite. O Lord, do hear us now for these things, and in all the turmoil in the world, may it be known that our God omnipotent reigneth. No thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to thee that sits above. Especially we pray for thy people in persecution, affliction and famine, that it might please thee to draw near to them and help them, Lord. Help them to stand upheld by thy righteous, omnipotent hand. And we pray, Lord, that it might be thy good pleasure to make wars to cease. Now do prepare us each one for the day of our death, that day when we must stand before thy judgment seat, that day when we must give an account of the deeds done in the body, of every evil thought. Oh, prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face in Christ's obedience, clothe and wash us in his blood. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 790. A saint there was in days of old, though we but little of him hear, in honour high, of whom is told a short but ineffectual prayer. This prayer, my brethren, let us view, and try if we can pray so too. Hymn 790.
Thank you.
try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Elvin. You will find the text in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. In these words, we have a remarkable prayer, the prayer of Jabez, and which may be called a family prayer of the household of faith, for it is agreeable to the experience of every true believer in the Church of Christ on earth. It may be denominated an effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man that prevails with God. And therefore the doctrine taught in it is that all those who are led to call upon God in prayer shall most certainly be heard and answered. We have then to consider this prayer and its application to all true believers. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would so bless what may be said upon it to the souls of the dear people of God on this occasion, that their hearts may rejoice. In attempting to speak upon this prayer as a subject, as the Holy Ghost may assist, let us consider, firstly, the object of it, secondly, the subject of it, thirdly, the properties of it, fourthly, the petitions of it, and fifthly, the answer given to it. Firstly, the object of this prayer. Upon whom did Jabez call? The God of Israel. Doubtless this was the living God, but he was the God of Israel by covenant, so spiritually in the same way he was and is the God of Abraham and of all his covenant people in Christ Jesus, who is the mediator of that covenant. This prayer, therefore, is to the living God in unity and Trinity, as we call upon God the Father in the name of God the Son, the surety of that covenant, and that by the teaching and influence of God, the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit of grace and supplication. And every such a praying soul shall so call upon the God of Israel as to be heard and answered. And all such shall have an experimental knowledge of God as a triune God, as the Apostle has it, that through him we have access unto the Father by one Spirit, which is the case in every other act of true worship. And all such, therefore, do pray in the Spirit and with the understanding also. Secondly, the subject of this prayer. It was Jabez who is said to have called upon the God of Israel. It is rather remarkable that the word Jabez, the name of the subject of this prayer, should signify sorrowful. And it may be observed that true prayer is always preceded by godly sorrow for sin, of which weeping is a sign. As it is written, "They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them." And this is the case with every spiritual praying soul. They do experience sorrow for sin. For when the Holy Spirit convinces a sinner of sin by the application of the law in its spirituality to the conscience, sorrow for sin is sure to follow. And this is succeeded by supplication. Hence, every such soul may be called a Jabez, a subject of real prayer. It was so with the publican in the temple, who called on the God of Israel and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And has it not been the same with some of us? Cannot we well remember that with our hearts broken with a sense of sin and guilt and full of sorrow on account of it, even from our very souls we cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's when no eye but God's saw us. And literally did I smite upon my breast when I uttered those words. But those taught of God are not only the subjects of prayer in the first stages of Christian experience, but they remain so the rest of their days upon earth. Daily are they the subjects of prayer in the form of words, sighs, groans, desires, and breathing prayer to God. And when about to die, some of these highly favoured ones are so tired of the world's sin and self, and having a good hope of glory thereafter, they will pray for the Lord to hasten and fetch them home to heaven, saying with one, haste, my beloved, fetch my soul up to thy blessed abode. Fly, for my spirit longs to see my Saviour and my God. And in scripture language do they say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Thirdly, the properties of this prayer. And first I observe it is the prayer of faith. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, must believe in the character of God, that he is a God of justice and a gracious God, pardoning iniquity, transgression, and sin through the mediation of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, that he is able to grant us our requests, and that God has appointed prayer so that thereby his people should let their requests be made known unto him, that though he imparts all covenant blessings into them freely by grace without money or the price of good works, he knowing that they have none, yet he says, for all these things I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Yes, we must be blessed with faith in God that he can hear and answer them for Christ's sake, and all such shall be heard and answered by him, as the Lord Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Secondly, I observe that it is a personal prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Now it is quite true that believers do pray for others in the various relations of life, husbands and wives for each other, parents for their children, for brothers and sisters, yea, for both friends and foes. But still this does not set aside their praying personally for themselves. When the sinner is first awakened by the Lord the Spirit, he feels it to be a personal matter. Yea, as personal as if there were not another soul to be saved. Yes, as before said, we can well remember when we cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was not the sins of others that then so much troubled us. It was our own sins. And thus the sensible sinner calls upon the Lord and says, Lord, save me or I perish. And there is one thing that makes such feel religion to be a personal thing. That is because at times they think, what would it avail me if all the world were saved and I was lost? This would only tend to aggravate my case. And I would also ask if it is not the same in the after stages of the Christian's experience. For although we are pleased to hear of others being profited under the word, of its being blessed to their souls by the Holy Spirit, still we must be profited ourselves also personally in order to the comfort and satisfaction of our own souls. We must enjoy the Lord's presence ourselves as well as see others so favoured. And hence we may say sometimes to such, tell him when you see his face, I long to see him too. As with the church, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. Again, this prayer is marked by the petitioner's desire for reality in the blessings asked. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." How anxious are all true seekers of the Lord not to be deceived in soul matters, but to really to possess the God's saving blessing. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. The mere resemblance or form of religion is not enough for them. No, no, it will not be enough for them to have the shell. They must have the kernel. For the desire of their soul is to have the root of the matter of vital godliness found in them. And hence they pray that the Lord would not allow them to be deceived in the momentous matters of their immortal souls. They are anxious to know that their experience of divine things is real, that their repentance is real, their faith real, their hope real, their love to the Lord real, their prayers real, their praises of the Lord real. In a word, they want to know that they are real Christians. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I observe further that this prayer has the property of being fervent. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. It is not a mere cold form of words used as a vain repetition with the lips, in which the heart takes no part. But the words of the mouth and the feelings of the heart agree, while the soul is lifted up to God with the words in holy fervour. For this little exclamation, "Oh," belongs to a class of words which are thrown into the sentence to denote the state of mind in which the words are spoken. And so here it implies fervour, that the mind of the suppliant is full of sacred emotion. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. The dear children of God know the difference between prayer which consists merely of a hollow, empty sound of words and the souls being full of holy fervour. Oh yes, their prayers at times are more like the chattering swallows than the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. And then it is the case with them at other times that they cannot find words to use in prayer, when all they can say is, "O Lord," in which case we have the fervour without the words. Ah, but dear friends, we have a high priest in heaven who can set such a prayer as this with all our supplicatory groans that we cannot find language to express in the most beautiful order before God, so as to make them expressive of the desires of the soul. Yea, and moreover, there does he offer all the prayers of his people upon the golden altar of his divinity, perfumed with the rich incense of his own merit, by which gracious answers of peace are given to his praying people. Fourthly, the petitions of the prayers. The first is for the divine blessing. Believers know that God has blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he has chosen them in him before the foundations of the world. But what is desired by such seeking souls is that God by his Spirit would reveal it unto them that he has so blessed and chosen them. The desire of such a one is to realize his interest in the Lord's saving blessing. Yes, it is the desire of every true Christian that God would bless him, both in providence and grace. The next petition is for the enlargement of coast. By this enlargement of Jabez's coast, no doubt is meant, in a literal sense, an extension of the borders of his lot in the land of Canaan. But he found his lot too small for the supply of his household, and so asks for an extension of his borders. In this petition, then, it seems to me that believers have scriptural authority to pray for an increase of temporal blessings when necessary. This is evident, dear friends, from their having the promise of the life that now is, as well as that which is to come. And therefore the Christian has the privilege of asking the Lord's blessing upon all his temporal affairs, that prosperity may attend him according to the Lord's will. But spiritually speaking, it will apply to believers also. For every Christian has his lot assigned to him by the Lord. They do possess by faith some spiritual blessings in the soul. They have received some measure of grace out of his fullness. But show me the believer that does not desire an enlargement of his coast in spiritual things. How evident it is from observation that true Christians in general complain that it is a day of small things with them in spiritual things experimentally. They feel that their knowledge of divine things is small, their faith is small, hope small, love to the Lord is small, strength small, zeal small, enjoyment of sacred things small. Yet at times they feel that their experience of these things is so small that they have grave doubts and fears whether they have any real religion at all. I say then that it is the privilege of all such needy, tried souls to go to God in prayer and ask him to enlarge their spiritual coast, for he only can give the increase, by his blessed Spirit leading them more deeply into the truth as it is in Jesus, to give them an increase of the experimental knowledge of it, so that they thereby might grow in grace and in knowledge, not only of the depth of the depravity of their own deceitful hearts, but of Jesus Christ also as their God and Saviour, so that they might loathe themselves in their own sight, and that it might become increasingly precious and dear to their souls. Yea, that their little faith may be increased to the full assurance of it. Mark what he says to such: ask and ye shall receive. I say then that God's living family are encouraged to ask the Lord for all necessary supplies, both temporal and spiritual. And moreover, I will use Paul's words and say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For we have the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. And enlarge my coast. The third petition is for the presence of the hand of God to be with him. By the hand of God is meant his power. As Jesus said of his sheep, that they were all in his Father's hand, that is, in his power, all kept by the power of God. It is therefore the presence or manifestation of the power of God by his Spirit to be with Jabez, or the praying soul, that is prayed for to enable him to do that which he was conscious he could not do of himself, as the true believer knows that without this power he can do nothing. He feels to need the hand or power of the Lord to be with him, to support and sustain him in his afflictions and trials, so that he may bear them patiently without murmuring. And how suitable is the promise of God to such, that he will uphold them with the right hand of his righteousness. The dear children of God want his hand to be with them, to lead and guide them through all the intricate paths of this wilderness world in all things, both in providence and grace, that he would teach them what his will is therein, and give them strength to do it, as they well know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That his hand might be with me, says this poor helpless one, to enable me to be found walking in all the ways of his commandments, blameless, so that I may serve him acceptably in my day and generation, living to his honour and glory. Ah, dear friends, in how many things and states do we need the hand of God's power to be with us, so that we may in all these things be sustained, as the church is said to be, as she is seen to be coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved, or supported by his power. The fourth petition of this prayer is for divine preservation from evil, and the reason assigned for it: that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. This petition proves that it is a sanctified one who thus prays. For none but the saints do pray to be preserved from sin for such a reason as this. None but they are grieved with sin as sin on account of its sinfulness. The unregenerate do not grieve on account of sin in this way. They may grieve on account of the inconveniences and suffering it causes them, as Cain did, who said his punishment was greater than he could bear. So far from a mere natural person being grieved by sin because it is sin, or on account of its bitterness, he rather rolls it as a sweet morsel under his tongue. But the soul of the believer in the new nature is holy, as therein he has been made a partaker of the divine nature, and therefore, though he hopes he will never suffer for his sin in a place of torment, yet it grieves him sorely. Yes, at times he sheds bitter tears of grief on account of it, and therefore he prays to be preserved from it, because it grieves his righteous soul. There are two features of the image of Christ to be seen in every spiritually living child of God, namely, hatred of sin and love of holiness. As the Father said to the Son, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness," even so it is with every true believer. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. Now, does not this deny the statement of some that the doctrines of free and sovereign grace tend to make men careless as to practical godliness? What? Can we suppose a person would willingly seek that which they hate, and which causes them grief and makes them wretched? No, it can only be those who are strangers to experimental religion who could make such an observation. You might as well say that those Israelites who had been bitten by the fiery serpents would play with those loathsome, injurious creatures by which they excuse me. The dear living children of God are grieved by sin, not only by actual sin, but by sinful thoughts and desires also. They hate and are grieved by vain thoughts, and do desire to be kept from them. And how evident it is from this prayer that they feel to be unable to preserve themselves from sin. What says the reclaimed backslider to this? Why, that unless the Lord preserves him, he is liable to go astray from God again. And God only knows how far he may go in sin. And therefore such a one would sincerely pray to God and say, "Keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." And with another saint, "Let not iniquity have dominion over me, and let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me," that is, from all that would be displeasing to thee. Now, fifthly, the answer given to this prayer, and the Lord granted that which he requested. The same shall be said of every soul who is enabled to pray in the Spirit, as Jabez did, for the Saviour says to such, "Ask, and it shall be given you." This prayer seems to have been left upon record for the encouragement of all real praying souls. And it may be said that all those who pray for salvation by the mercy of God through Christ, from a feeling sense of their need of it, shall be heard and answered, as it is written, that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall have their coast enlarged, so as to grow in grace and in a knowledge of Christ. The hand of the Lord, the power of the Spirit, shall be with them to strengthen them, so that they shall be able to bear all the burdens the Lord is pleased to put upon them, and they shall hold on their way so as never to give up. And this shall be done in the use of the means the Lord has appointed. As it is written, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And the Lord will so preserve these praying souls from sin that it shall never rain again. Never again have a prominent dominion over them, but grace shall reign by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yea, it is certain that all such praying ones shall have their prayers answered. For the Spirit who teaches them to pray causes them to ask for the very blessings he knows it is the will of God to give them. And therefore all the spiritually living people of God shall have to praise him as a God hearing and a God answering prayer. And for this shall they praise him from time to time in the church below, and for ever and ever with the saints above. But what can be said to prayerless souls, to those who never pray to God for spiritual blessings from a sense of need of them? The prophet prays that God would pour out his fury upon them that know not God, upon the families of them that call not upon his name. Oh, how solemn is this! But it says that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him in sincerity and truth. May the Lord bless what has been said according to his word, to the real profit of the souls of his people and his own glory. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gary Christie will preach this evening. May the Lord the Spirit be present to bless us together. Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon, and the collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. The church members will meet for prayer on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. Our closing hymn is number 772. 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. Hymn 772.
Thank you. Dear kind and gracious God, we do pray thy blessing upon the service this morning. Lord, do bless that which has been read to us. And Lord, we do pray, oh, that thou wilt bless us indeed. Lord, in mercy, look upon us. Oh, do follow with thy blessing. Lord, forgive anything amiss. We pray for thy servant who was expected here, Mr. Rutt. Lord, do be with him. Do draw near to him. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come to him today. Oh, do bless him, Lord. Though unable to preach, Lord, do draw near. Do lift him up again, we pray. And Lord, we do pray that thou come up with thy servant expected this evening. Lord, these engagements are made if the Lord will. And sometimes, Lord, it is not thy will. But Lord, as thou hast brought that change today, that reading this morning, Mr. Christie this evening, Lord, may it prove to be thy appointment. Lord, we pray that thou would help him. Give him that to speak. Help him where he is through the day. Lord, we pray that thou grant him liberty in speaking tonight. And may it prove to be, oh, may he prove to be in his right place this evening. So, Lord, do be with us now as we part. Remember each one, Lord. Thou knowest the case of each one. Remember those, Lord, any unable to be with us this morning. We do pray for those walking in affliction. Oh, Lord, draw near. We pray for them. Lord, do lift them up. Do help them. Oh, and grant thy healing touch. Do then be with us as we part. Help the children this afternoon. And Lord, may there be something for them. And help those who teach. And Lord, do be with us. And may it be a Sabbath day to remember. Oh, that thou wilt come and bless us indeed. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.